The anointing is manifestation of the blessing that began on Adam. The blessing of the Lord, which is the blessing of Abraham, which is on us.
Amen.
So, let's turn now to 1 Samuel chapter 30. It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captive that were therein, and they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. David's wives were taken captive. David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons, for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, that's the first thing you need to know. Excuse me. Things just hit your household hard. Encourage yourself in the Lord before you just take some knee-jerk reaction to it. Encourage yourself in the Lord. You can do that in the first chapter of Joshua. And verse 8, David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?" Two questions. Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? Now, he had no idea where they went. So this is going to take a miracle right there of some kind. And he answered him, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all." Now, the commander in chief had given him his orders. You go now. You will overtake them and you'll get it all. So now, so David went, he and his 600 men. So now that's a lot of people. Well, here's something else you have to realize. This is not a mechanized army. Their food walks with them. Their meat is on 4 feet. Wherever they go. That's a job now. 600 men with him and came to the brook Besor. Don't let that word brook fool you. It's anything but a brook. Now, we have pictures of that very area. If we could put those up on the screen, please. Now, there it is. Now, that's Besor. That's Besor. Would you want to bring a herd of cattle down through that thing? Well, now, what about this? There it is, full of water. That looked like a brook. They didn't have any business bringing all that cattle through there and running the risk of losing their whole quartermaster. So, where those that were left behind stayed, David pursued, he and the 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint they could not go over the brook or the river. They had pushed so hard that it'd be dangerous for them personally to even go through there. but they were part of this army. Yeah. I'm telling you, there are times on a field of combat when a cook is a really, real important guy. Amen. You get tired of eating the same old C ration or K ration you've been eating for weeks and weeks and weeks. And they found, look at me, they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. They gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins or grapes. When he had eaten, his spirit came again to him. He was about to starve to death. For he had eaten no bread or drank any water 3 days and three nights. Listen, you can't go that long without drinking water. You just can't function that long without anything to drink. He was about dead. David said to him, "Who do you belong to? And where'd you come from?" He said, "I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. My master left me because 3 days ago and I fell sick." So since he was sick, he wasn't worth anything to his master. He just left him to die. That's the kind of people we're after here. "We made an invasion on the south of the Cherethites and upon the coast which belongs to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire." David said to him, "Can you bring me down to the company?" He said, "You swear to me by God that you'll neither kill me nor make me go back to that guy. I'm not telling you anything unless you swear to me you won't kill me or put me back in the hands of that guy." "And I will bring you down to this company." When he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon the all earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil they had taken out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. David smote them from twilight even unto the evening of the next day. Look at that. From twilight even to the evening of the next day. All night long and all day long after a forced march. And we'll see the answer to that in just a moment. "And there escaped not a man of them, except 400 young men which rode on camels and ran off." So the cavalry ran out of town. David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, rescued his wives. There was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons or daughters, neither spoil or anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. Why? Because he encouraged himself in the Lord, and he had a word from God, and God told him he would, and he fully planned to do so. Amen. So he believed what God said. That's right. David took the flocks and herds which they drove before other cattle and said, "This is David's spoil." David came to the 200 men which were faint. They could not follow David, which it made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, because they went not with us, we'll not give them aught of the spoil we've recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and get out of here. Well, that's a great attitude. David said, you'll not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who has preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. Now, that's the reason they had the strength. That's the reason they had the goal. That's the reason that battle was won. And they fought all night long and all day the next day. That's the reason they had the strength to do it. Does this thrill you like it does me? I mean, you can carry this into a hospital room. Encourage yourself in the Lord. And don't just run in there. Encourage yourself in God. Spend some time before God and tell Him, sir, I'm going in there, but I'm not going in there without you. And you're going to rise up within me, and we're going to take care of business. And you, through me, is going to do the same thing to this sickness and this disease, to the devil, that you did out there that day. You're the same God, and the devil's the same devil. And those servants of who? Who were the ones that didn't want to give? Who was that? That's a devil religion. They fought under God's flag. So they had the same battle anointing as David did. But David rebuked them and said, no, God did this.
Amen.
Praise God. I mean, if we didn't go any further. This is a description for life. If we'll engage, your faith is sitting there all the time. It's there when you get up, when you go to bed. But you have to engage it. You go to the book, you find the scripture, put it in your heart, your eyes, and your ears, and put it out your mouth. Amen. So, you shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part that goes down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. Until this day. Well, that day is still this day. Now, we'll read this first. In that fourth chapter, this is where he went out into the wilderness. And he stayed there. Being full of the Holy Ghost. See, now he's been baptized in the Jordan. And the Spirit of God's come on him for service. Being 40 days tempted. You know that's 6 weeks? Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. That means starvation had set in. And that's when the devil came up and said, turn these stones into bread. But Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is also written. Amen. We need to be doing the same thing.
That's right.
And when the devil had ended all temptation, he departed from him for a season, and he returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through the region round about. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place. So he turned what you and I know as the 61st chapter of the book of Isaiah. He took a specific text. Did you ever notice how many times he quoted, he found himself in the prophet Isaiah? It was Isaiah that prophesied the cross in the 53rd chapter. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and to preach recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, which is supernatural debt cancellation.
Amen. Glory to Jesus.
Whew. Glory to God. That's the Jubilee. Now, the first time I heard this really preached, I heard Oral Roberts preach that, and he said, Jesus is now your Jubilee. Blind man, you don't have to be blind anymore. Poor man, you don't have to be poor anymore. Brokenhearted, you don't have to be brokenhearted anymore. No, no, the Jubilee himself is here. Glory to God. And he preached an entire message on that. And then he said, sick people, you don't have to be sick anymore because he's here. And he closed the book, gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. Can't you just see him? Now, what are you going to do with this? Because there's old Sister Bucketmouth over there. I'm telling you, I've heard that woman run down everybody in this little old town. What do you suppose they're going to do with this? And he began to say unto them. So we don't know how long he preached. This was his text. He found the place in the book of Isaiah. And he began to say unto them, this is what he preached, today is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. All bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. Whatsoever we've heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country. Then he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was sent, except unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Elisha. Many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed save Naaman the Syrian. I mean, he laid it down in front of them. Made them mad. He said, God was not able to send Elijah to anybody but a foreigner, because nobody in Israel would believe him. Elisha was only sent to Naaman, who was a Syrian soldier. Well, they wanted to kill him. Tried to. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him to the brow of a hill whereupon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way and came down to Capernaum, the city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. So he was essentially kicked out of Nazareth. But it was prophesied earlier that he would leave Nazareth and go to Capernaum. And so his headquarters were in Capernaum, and he spent the rest of his time here on earth. That was his headquarters. And Cornelius built synagogue in Capernaum. And Jairus was leader of the synagogue in Capernaum. Hallelujah. So now we go over here to the 8th chapter. Now, what we're seeing here is the statute that David put in, all of them shared on an equal basis because God gave the increase. It came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. But not just the 12. Certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, that was not her last name, she was from Magdal. Do you know that? We do now. Mary Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. They were partners traveling around with him and paying the bills. And if you notice, they didn't receive financial offerings. They fed everybody. Well, our way today, because of our currency and so forth, that's what is so important about calling money a seed, because the seed is in the spirit. The money is the husk of the seed. And once it's released, it becomes a seed in the spirit realm of ministry. So, when much people were gathered, would come unto him out of every city, he spoke a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and when it was sprung up, it withered away and lacked moisture. And some fell on thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked. Other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. There's that 100-fold again. And when he had said these things, he cried. He shouted. That's the reason we do the same thing today. You get excited and you get loud about it. Hallelujah. And he shouted, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. But now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God." So he had partners with him, and what did he say? He said, I preached all of that. Well, he wasn't just talking to the 12 here. Luke explained that. This team was with him. But he said, to you it is given to understand. Now the seed is the word. His partners had revelation knowledge because they were his partners.
Hello, I'm Spencer Nordyke. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We've heard the Word this week, and our faith in God has increased. If you missed any of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcasts, they're available 24/7 free on KCM.org or KCM's Roku channel. Study the Word anytime that's convenient for you and share your favorite messages with your family and friends. Remember to download the free study notes for this week. They have scriptures and teaching points that Brother Copeland taught in the broadcast, including the confession of faith. And it's a great tool for your personal study time, or you can use them to teach a small group and have your own healing school service. Download your free notes today on kcm.org/notes. Every Friday is offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory, and we want to give you the opportunity to sow into the teaching of the Word you learned this week. Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 8 says, Let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We know that faith is our connection to our covenant with God, and as we mix our faith with the Word that we heard, that's when we will see God's promises fulfilled in our lives. Partners, thank you for your faithful prayers and support. Your financial seeds are helping to send the gospel around the world. People are hearing the good news through the broadcast, the magazine, the website, all free of charge. This year is Kenneth and Gloria Copeland's 56th year of ministry, and they've been faithful to preach the uncompromised Word of faith from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle on every available voice. And KCM sows at least 10% of all contributions into other ministries around the world, so your financial seed goes even further to minister the Word into nations across the globe. We believe with you for your harvest. Let me pray over your offering. Father, bless everyone that's giving today, exceedingly abundantly above all they ask or think. We thank you for doing it, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us this week, and until next time, remember, God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.